verse 9. It's a great opportunity to present to you my brother and friend, and I said, very good friend. He deals with me with my jokes, and many times we go mountain biking, and we really, really enjoy it because we are kind of a couple crazy guys. We really enjoy our time together when we go riding our bikes, and I really find a special way. I consider him my closest brother and friend, like I said. And it's an honor for me that this night, Brother Adam asked me if I can open for him. I said, surely I could. And so without taking any more time, I give you our pastor, my brother, Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Jose. And so I just wanted to let you all know that Jose and I do enjoy quite a bit of time together, mountain biking as much as we can. He has a different schedule than I. So I actually approached him earlier today and asked him if he wanted to go mountain biking tomorrow. So if you see him, make him go. Tell me he has to go with me tomorrow. He's got to work, but nevertheless, we always make time for others. So my son, he's been starting to mountain bike with us, and he appreciates time being around us as well. There's a lot of camaraderie there and a lot of fun and fellowship. But nevertheless, I am thankful. I'd like to greet all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even those that are live streaming. I really have made some changes in my life as of lately, and I wanted to start off with a scripture reading that's not included in my presentation here for the sermon, and it's in James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And I'll kind of reflect towards that later on in my sermon a little bit. And the reason why I wanted to open with a scripture reading was because, you know, lately I've really been seeing changes in my life for the better, for the Lord's work, and dedicating more of my time in doing those things that the Lord called me to do. And it's really neat, and it's a wonderful testimony that I will have throughout my life of being able to do the Lord's work. And, you know, my wife had mentioned to me last night that I was taking quite a bit of time on this presentation here. And, you know, I found it to where I just find things more enjoyable as I do them for the Lord. And, you know, it's like my brother was saying with his words that he had this morning, it's hard to put some things into words and how the Lord is working in your life. And that is true to the meaning. And really, I want to bear, you know, the fact that prior to being called to the pastorship, I can truly and honestly say that I wasn't putting my all on the altar. And, you know, it's a neat thing that when you are given a different responsibility in the Lord's work, you know, how He can change your heart and how He can make you feel different, how He can make you see things different, how He can take something that wasn't so important to you and the responsibility in that and make it that much more responsible or important to you. And that's what I was looking at is, you know, how being in this position, a day doesn't go by that I don't think about something that is involved. An hour doesn't usually go by. I'm always continuously thinking of what's happening within our local with our brothers and sisters, what's going to happen, how things are going to happen. And, you know, there's a peace that comes with that, too. Sometimes it is stressful, but a lot of times there's a peace that comes with that. And I really appreciate all the opportunities that the Lord gives us. And I wanted to express that, you know, all of us have those opportunities, not just to be, you know, somebody coming and taking part of a service, but look for those things that you can participate in for your local here and for your locals, wherever you're tuning in from. It's a really neat thing how when you give your life to the Lord, how much more you appreciate life itself. And it, again, is hard to put in words, but you will see that change in your life, and you will feel that change with the Spirit of the Lord working with you. And that's why I kind of came up with this slide presentation this night, and then I titled it, Created in the Image of God, because we all are created in the image of God. We all have been created in His image. It starts, you know, at the beginning of creation itself. You know, the Lord has each and every one of us here in mind. And I don't know if He thinks of us on a daily basis, but I'm sure He does. He loves each and every one of us like His children. I see my children every single day, and I'm sure He sees each and every one of us every single day. What we're doing, how we're doing it, and encouraging us as a father would. And, you know, it's really neat when you consider that and kind of grow in that nature and have that line of communication open with the Lord and that closeness with the Lord for your spiritual walk. And I would encourage you to continue in your life to seek after that and to understand that, you know, we're all created in the image of God. We're going to read that, and it starts off in the very beginning in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And I looked at that, and I was really intrigued by the fact that, you know, we were created in His image. You know, I have an understanding of that, but there, I think there's much more to it than just that. You know, there's a lot of value that comes with that. Being one of God's children, being created by Him. You know, it's something like, again, our brother Adam was saying this morning that we can't comprehend all the things that the Lord comprehends. But we know that, you know, the Scriptures tell us that each and every one of us were created after His image. And that image, that definition of that is, in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's an exact likeness, a person striking like another person, a reproduction or imitation of the form of a person or thing. And I was trying to work with my wife and my mother-in-law and trying to get, I have this memory, and I was trying to get these pictures of this memory. And I thought it was when Connor was born, but it was when Logan was born. And my mom had came to the hospital, and she brought pictures of myself when I was born. And, you know, we were two really alien-looking babies, really, just kidding. But, you know, it was just uncanny that my mom gave me the picture of my son, this newly born, and I actually thought it was him. I thought it that picture of me was Logan. They're laying hand in hand, and the picture that my mom brought and my newly born son, and I just was in awe at the fact that, boy, this is actually... I thought the picture that my mom brought was of Logan. I was like, how did the people at the hospital get that picture here so fast? And sure enough, it wasn't. It was a picture of me, and there was my newborn baby laying there. But the pictures that they actually took that day, you know, things changed pretty quick with bone structure and all that in the birthing process. And, you know, I compared the two, and I was like, that's not the pictures that I was trying to compare there. But nevertheless, you know, there was that moment. And I'll always remember that, and I'll always laugh at that because... it's something that just really strikes me, you know, how I look at how we were created in God's image, and our children and our children's children always bear those characteristics of their parents. And it's really neat to be able to see that, especially, you know, when you put pictures of brothers and sisters and parents and family together, and you can see the resemblance there. And as in Strong says, 6754, it's a resemblance. It's a representative figure. And so, you know, the Lord has this image, and I don't know what that is. I will hopefully someday be able to see what that is in all of His glory. And I can try my hardest to reach out and to look for that and to see that, but the Lord, I don't think it's going to show me that in my life. And I really, you know, try to see and understand what that relationship is that I have with Him. And He shows me things. He guides me and directs my heart and my mind to do things. And I'm sure He's done that with each and every one of you in your lives. But, you know, people try to see things that are so far off, that are so far out of reach, that, you know, they design these things to be able to do so. And so I wanted to be able to show you an example of that. And here we have the Hubble telescope, and this is circling the orbit of the Earth right now. Below it is some of the images that it can see far way off in the distance. And the picture to the right of the scope is actually, it's the mirror that is inside of that scope. And I think about that, and I go back to the book of James here, and I was thinking about that mirror. You know, what does a mirror do? It reflects the image of something. And is what is the way that we wanted to be able to, that we want to be able to reflect an image? You know, we have to face that towards something. And with this piece of glass, this mirror here that they have designed for this telescope, they can reach to the far ends of space. I don't know if there's an end to space, but I'm going to read a little something here that I pulled out of Wikipedia in regards to that. I thought that some of the young men, some of the young ladies would find that interesting. It was in development, and it was launched in 1990. That telescope actually remains in operation. My wife and I had an opportunity on our 15-year anniversary to go to the Kennedy Space Center out in Florida, and they actually had a replica of that telescope there. It was really neat. It was really interesting to sit there and to be able to walk around it and to see it and, you know, its actual form and its size. So a couple of interesting tidbits. It has a 7.9-foot mirror. It has four main instruments that observes in the ultraviolet, visible, and near-infrared regions of the electromagnetic spectrum. Hubble's orbit outside of the distortion of Earth's atmosphere allows it to take extremely high-resolution images with sustainability, lower background light than ground-based telescopes. Hubble was recorded... Images with some... Hubble has recorded some of the most detailed visible light images ever, allowing a deep view into space and time. Many Hubble observations have led to breakthroughs in astrophysics, such as accurately determining the rate of expansion of the universe. So it's a pretty neat thing that that instrument does. And it's capable of seeing the far reaches of space. What a really neat thing that is. And it can pick up a small piece of light from millions and hundreds and light years away. And it's something that science has brought to the table to be able to help figure out what the space is all about, different galaxies and their far reaches out there. And, you know, it's a useful tool. You know, but at the same time, you know, I look and I see, you know, how simple our lives are. And, you know, pretty much the mirror I deal with on a daily basis is about this big. You know, I use a mirror about this big. And one of the things I wanted to read here is, you know, in James chapter 1, verses 22, and I'm going to read through 24 now. It says, "For beholdeth he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And in verse 23, I should have backed up. It says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And so when I'm sitting here and I look at myself, oh my goodness, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm focused on myself. You know, I'm looking at myself and I see all these imperfections. I see, you know, I'd like to say a handsome young man, but that has far passed. but I can see all those details within myself. My hair's a little bit messed up. But right now, as I'm focusing on myself, I'm not focusing on anything else that's around me. You know, and if we want to be able to be an image of God, we need to focus on Him. And, you know, His light, it shines upon us. You know, the Lord tells us that. And so how do we portray that image of God? Are we looking at our own life? Are we looking at our own self-image? Or are we looking at those things that the Lord did and does and works with us and being that light and able to reflect that light for Him? And so I got this slide up here. Do we reflect God's image? How do you accurately reflect something? You face the mirror directly at it. You know, I can't reflect anything but myself unto myself if I have this pointed at me. But if the Lord's light is coming at us and into our lives, we can reflect that unto others. You know, we can redirect it to those that you want the reflection to come in contact with. So I asked our brother Nate, now this is a little example here. I was going to reach out and say anybody that has something that contains a red dot, go ahead and point it at me, but I was afraid that, you know, certain items might come out. I might have a bunch of red dots all over me. So I asked Nate in particular to hold up that red dot, Nate, and I'm not going to try to put it right here on my chest. I can't see it, Nate. There it is. Okay. And so if I got this red dot and I have this mirror, Jose, it's on you. See, it's right on your belly there, buddy. See that, Jim? I can redirect. I'm trying not to hit anybody in the retina. Gage, it's on you now. I can redirect that light. I can, Michelle, I got you there. Dwayne, I'm going to come to get you. Actually, I'll get Pam. I didn't want to burn you. There you go, Pam. I got you. So, I'm having a little bit of fun with that. I should just keep going. Jeremiah, you're next. Just kidding. But what I wanted to give an example was, you know, if the Lord's light is coming in onto us, you know, we can redirect that light. We can be that reflection of Him. As you see in the mirror, you know, I really like this picture because it's just a small little pond. But when you look in the mirror, it's the king. It's the king piece out of the chess game there. And, you know, how many times do we reflect that of the Lord in our lives? Are we reflecting what the king, our Lord of Lords, our God Almighty is wanting us to reflect, you know? Or is that mirror turned around and focused on ourselves so much that we can't do that for Him? So we have to really have that close relationship with the Lord and understand that His light shines upon us. It gives us that opportunity to be a light for Him. So think about those things. And I thought a good example of that was in Exodus 34, to where, you know, Moses had such a close relationship with the Lord. He actually emulated, you know, that light of God. And it says in chapter 34, I'm going to read 29 through 35. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. Now I wanted to stop right there because, you know, when the Lord shines the light in our lives, are we stopping? Are we telling each other about that? Are we praising the Lord? Are we glorifying Him when those situations occur? That's what we need to do. That's how we need to exercise and reflect that image of God in our lives. And it says in verse 32, and afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. He shared everything with them. He wanted them to know about it. You know, he wanted to teach them. He wanted his children, the Lord's children, to have the Lord's law, God's law. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in, that's a whole other study in itself that got me interested. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And all the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And we can have that relationship with God. You know, the Lord tells us, you know, draw closer unto me and I will draw closer unto you. I think that we could get in such a close relationship with the Lord that his light will shine from us, that people will see that light, that it will change others' lives. It will draw other people unto you, which you're promoting for the Lord. And I wanted to read in Psalm 67, three verses. It says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And so I wanted to talk about this a little bit because that's what the Lord calls us to do, is to praise him, to think about him, to dwell upon him, to be able to share his experiences with you in other people's lives. Give him that time. Give him that opportunity. Speak that for him. Glorify him in those things in which he has done for you, where he has brought you to, what opportunities he has given to you, what struggles he has brought you through. That is what we're called to do. We are called to be a light for him. You know, and it's so easy that a lot of times we get caught up in society and what society does and how it tries to manipulate our thought process and how we think. I was talking to the young men today in Sunday school about that. You know, we were talking about one of the biggest things right now is the issues there are with abortion. And, you know, the media, we have media, and I'm not going to get into politics and all that, but I was telling the boys that, you know, if people have an agenda and they have control of certain things and certain powers, they have capabilities of swaying the people. And it's because they have an agenda. They have the capability and the power to be able to actually change thought processes. So it's on us to be able to stay focused on the Lord and to understand that, you know, we always need to be directed by him. We always need to be focused on him and his light. And in those dark times, in those dark places, he'll bring that light. He'll bring things in the truth to the table that would help us be able to stand up for that which is right. And when we get caught up in our sins and the struggles of the world, we try to justify the means of doing something wrong, it's detrimental for our soul's welfare. It causes problems in our lives. Satan has those stumbling blocks that he puts into place to where, you know, we do things and we know we aren't making the right choice. And that's one thing that we have to understand. The Lord will help us through all our choices. We just have to have the strength and call upon the Lord to be able to make those hard decisions sometimes. Peer pressure could be a very difficult thing, especially for our young adults this day and age. And we can really make a difference in our soul's welfare in some simple little decisions that can happen in a split second. But we need to be careful. And I wanted to read again in James, in those things that we say. We were talking about this today, again, even James 3, chapter 5, verses 5, or chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. You know, we're doing two things here. At one time, we could be praising God, and at the other time, we could be cursing man. And we need to understand that, you know, if we have that ability to do something of that nature, what is it doing to the image of God? You know, I look at a lot of times with people's perception. You know, I'm in a position now to where I really got to watch what I say, how I say it, and how I communicate to others, because that could turn around and be used against me very quickly. And so it's a very important thing for me to pay attention to detail of those things that I say, and really even more so as a Christian, you know, because other people's perception of us can change because of the way that we use our language, how we communicate to each other, you know, how we treat each other, those things that we say and do. You know, it's important that we really take in consideration, you know, that light that we're bearing for Christ and for the Lord, and that we do try to make the best out of what the Lord has given us to be able to glorify Him. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, I'm going to read 14 through 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, I want to go back. You know, what concord does Christ have with Belial? And that is an idol, an image, a graven image out of the Old Testament. In the Hebrew term, it is used and characterized as wicked or worthless. It is applied to ideas, words, and counsel, to calamitous circumstances, and most frequently to worthlessness of men of the lowest sort, such as men who would induce worship of other gods. And we know this transpired in the Old Testament time after time again. And I believe that there are false idols this day as well. We see that, you know, all over the nations. We see false idols and people worshiping them. But a couple I wanted to bring to the table to show everybody is a couple that, you know, I've been listening to audiobooks and in Kings and Samuel, a couple of these idols here, Dagon and Molech. These are some graven images. These are some false idols. And, you know, these are idols of the Old Testament. You know, these are graven images that people were worshiping, and the God and God our Father was not pleased with that. And so, you know, there was many a times when civilizations were torn down and destroyed because of these idols that the people were worshiping. You know, I look at these and, you know, I try to think about, you know, I was trying to draw a parallel of today, and, you know, you've heard it over the pulpit time after time again. And, you know, I think at times we're all guilty of taking something and loving it so much that it becomes the most important thing in our lives. And we have to be careful of that. You know, I look at this idol Molech here, and it almost looks like he's guilty of something. You know, oh, it was me. But, you know, we need to be careful of that. And I wanted to read out of 1 Samuel chapter 5. I don't have it up here, but, you know, this is one of the things here that, you know, I wanted people to hear and to be able to bring to the pulpit. And in 1 Samuel chapter 5, I'm going to read a few verses there. It says, and the Philistines, let me put this down on my scroll bar, took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God and they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon, and when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. And, you know, the Lord works. The Lord has power to do things. And I think even in our lives today that, you know, if our eyes are open to it, we can see these things unfolding in different ways. You know, I draw a parallel to then and to now, and these type of things are transpiring, you know, and the Lord is working in our hearts and our lives as believers in the true gospel to not take anything in our lives as an idol, as a graven image. You know, there's warnings in the gospel that we need to pay close attention to be able to help us in our spiritual walk, to be able to help us understand, you know, just as a father with his children, he teaches us. He gives us that understanding. We are a very smart nation. We have the capability of learning and understanding, and technology gives us that ability. But at the same time, you know, we find that that could be detrimental to each and every one of us. I was going to put a video on here of, you know, people getting so caught up in themselves and within their bubble while they're on the phone, walking down the street or in a park. They're on their phone and it's right in front of their face and they're falling in fountains, running into doors, getting hit by cars. You know, are we really so engrossed in our own lives that we don't realize what's going on around us? And, you know, I'm not trying to bring shame to us or anything like that, but I just want us to be able to think that, you know, there's an opportunity to be able to see more than just what's right in front of us. And the Lord is with us in our lives to be able to help us see that, to see what's important, to see what he's doing, to see how his work's going, and how we can be a participant of that. Okay? And so in Isaiah, I wanted to read a couple scriptures here. And Isaiah chapter 45, and it's going to be verses 21 through 22. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And so I put a few bullet points below that. You know, have you been turning your face to other things? You know, are we really not looking to God for those things that we need help with for the difficult times? You know, our brother Adam was talking about, sorry, Aaron, Adam's words really touched me this morning. You know, when he was speaking about Peter walking on the water, you know, the Lord is there, and through all things, we have to have him in our lives to be able to be successful, to be able to be conquerors over the adversary. It's so important that we look to him for that strength. And it says, have you been reflecting God's image? You can try to do it on your own, but you just don't have the light on your own. You need to go to the source. You need to go to the Lord. You need to get on your knees. You need to lift your cries unto the Lord. You know, it's so important. The Lord teaches us that. You know, that the line of communication is through prayer, you know, and in fasting. And are we practicing that? Are we exercising that faith that we have? So turn unto the Lord, let him shine on you. And so how is your self-image in light of what we talked about, you know? I don't want to put anybody underneath the microscope, but literally, I wanted to tell a quick little story about being underneath the microscope. Not myself, I'm too big for that, but nevertheless, I take it an interest upon myself to fix things. So my phone, we were hiking a couple weeks ago, and the reason why my phone broke is because I just paid it off. And so we got to the top of the mountain, and I was all heaving and trying to gasp for air because I'm a sadly out of shape old man. But I pulled the phone out of my pocket, it flipped out of my hand, and it fell right on the ground. And it landed glass first, and when it landed glass first, I was like, man, I knew that was going to happen. Usually I'll get all mad and frustrated, but I just knew it was going to happen. And so I said to myself, well, I'm going to fix it, you know. I'm a mechanic. I can fix anything. And so I took it upon myself, and, you know, I bought the glass and all that, and I brought it home. And I'll tell you, that's some pretty intricate little stuff in there. And so I got it all apart. Excuse me. And when I was going to put it back together, you know, there's a transfer of parts from one piece to the new piece. And when I was transferring parts over, some of the circuits, their flexible circuits, was stuck to the circuit board. So I, you know, had my glasses on and I was really close to it. And I was peeling that circuit up off of the circuit board and it slipped, the razor. And I was like, oh man. And it's got like this black coating on it and I saw copper. And I was like, well, you know, that's just one big solid piece of copper there going from, it was the home button on my phone. And it goes all the way up and connects at the top where the microphone and the earpiece are. And I said, well, it's just exposing some copper there. I'm going to put it back together. Sure enough, I put it all back together, and I'm hitting the home button, and it won't work. And I'm like, well, I did something there, you know, go figure. But I couldn't see that. I really, with my naked eye, I couldn't see that. So we have this microscope at home. And I went, and I took it all back apart the next day. And just let everybody know, if your home button doesn't work, there is a feature for it to where you still can use it with the touch glass. Anyway, so yes, there is, and it's really frustrating. But I took that back apart, and I put it underneath the microscope. And when I really put it underneath the microscope, boy, you could see some serious stuff under there. You know, I worked in the circuit board industry for 15 years with the Malones, and these were really, really tiny circuits, to where when I actually scuffed it with the razor, it looked like one big piece of copper. But underneath the microscope, boy, the details were all there. There was individual circuits, and I was like, wow, I was really intrigued by it. And I was calling Alicia over, here, come look at this, come look at this. You know, I was getting really nerdy on her. And, you know, there it was, the imperfection that caused it not to work. You know, even a simple little thing on a tiny little circuit caused that phone to not work. And so, you know, I fix it and all that good stuff. So if anybody has a broken phone, feel free to come and see me. But nevertheless, that attention to detail of getting down to something so small, so minute, can make a difference in our lives. You know, we have to look at ourselves. You know, are we looking at our self-image and looking at those fine details and making sure that they're falling in line, that everything's flowing according to the gospel of Christ? And I know we're not all successful in that. That's a true statement. And we are trying, and we need to continue to try. We need to look to each other to be able to help us out to fix things. We need to look to God and to pray to Him to be able to help us fix things, to understand things, to know why things are. And again, we can't comprehend all those things, but hopefully someday the Lord will show us in our lives why this all unfolded. I look and, you know, I'm living in the moment, but I have a desire to really know what the Lord had a reason for me to be in this position as a pastor. And so I hope that one day I can take that and I can stand up in the congregation and give a testimony of that, that the Lord will show me the reason why. You know, why was it important for me to do that? What did I do to make a difference? And if my heart, if everything's not in the right place, and if I'm more focused on myself than the Lord, I don't think I'll ever see those things. And so I think we all have that opportunity, but we just need to realize, where are we getting that from? Where are we focused on? Are we letting the Lord, are we facing Him and letting Him lead us where we need to go? And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read a couple verses there. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know, we have choices in our life, what we can do, how we can do it, and it goes back to the Lord and being created in His image. This is where it's telling us in Genesis and in Corinthians and many other places that we are valuable to the Lord, that we have that love of God in our lives, that He cares about us. He tells us, sons and daughters, that's what we all are. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to see, as a father, as a mother, as an uncle, aunt, grandma, grandfather, all those different opportunities, cousins, to see a family member of yours brought into the world. You know, how wonderful that is. And to know that each and every one of those souls are precious unto the Lord. And that at one point in our lives, we were that soul, that precious soul that came into this world. So make the most of that. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And in 3 Nephi chapter 7, verse 10, the Lord Christ says, "Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto Me," you know, face towards Me, look at Me. You know, a lot of times when I'm disciplining my kids, you know, this is them. I'm here. I'm trying to talk to them, and this is them. You know, no, you need to look at Me. I want to make eye contact with you, because what I'm telling you is very important. It's so you understand that I'm clearly talking to you and that you understand the words that I'm saying. And I even say that, do you understand the words I'm saying? You know, and the Lord, as his children, sometimes I'm wondering if he thinks like that with us. But it's important as his children to look unto him, you know, give yourself to him, you know, let him take you and guide and direct you. And it says here, for unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. You know, he wants to see all of his sons and all of his daughters in that everlasting kingdom. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, a few verses here, it says here that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are many, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, we have an adversary out there who's trying to get us to screw up, to make us not really see the wonderful beauty and the power and the capabilities that the Lord has to be able to change our lives. He wants us to have confusion. He wants us to be deceived. He wants us to fail. And every opportunity that he gets, he's going to try to do that. But nevertheless, you know, I have read many scriptures to be able to help us be able to understand, you know, there's things in our lives that we need to change. And one of the greatest things that we can do and the most important things that we can do is look to the Lord to help us make that change. So I would ask that you take some time, put your life, I don't want to say underneath the microscope, but boy, it sure helps out for you to be able to see things and to be able to see that there are little things that you can change your life that will make a big difference to how you function, how you operate, and how you be able to communicate to the Lord and to each other. Take that into consideration and you know, let those words work upon your heart. May it help you. It has helped me immensely. And I continue to be in awe with what and how the Lord has worked with each and every one of us. So I thank you for your time. I'll be praying for each and every one of you as the congregation and for this local, for our future and for our children and for our elderly. So God bless, and all those that are live streaming, thank you for tuning in. So thank you.